This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Ready or not, climate change is coming. In fact, it's already here. And the city of San Antonio is seeking input from residents on its first ever climate action and adaptation plan. Local leaders want the community's input on how to make the city sustainable, and local environmental experts are assisting the city in finding ways to reduce carbon emissions. Experts are also searching for new options to make it adaptable for the future of climate change. There's lots of ways for you to get into our conversation as we talk about this plan. 210-614-8980, the San Antonio Climate Adaptation Plan. If you've got a take on it, call in 210-614-8980. You could email us with questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org and tweet at us at tprsource. We're joined by Doug Melnick, Chief Sustainability Officer for the City of San Antonio's Office of Sustainability. And Christy Villanueva is the president and CEO of the West San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, a member of the SA Climate Ready Steering Committee. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all. It's great to have you here.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
So, Doug, tell me, where did this idea for this plan, where did it come from?
Sure. So, you know, I think climate has been a discussion point for many years. In San Antonio, it really came to the forefront as a part of the development of our SA Tomorrow plans. We identified the need for a climate plan, but really when Mayor Nirenberg took office, his first council request to the council members was a resolution in support of the Paris Climate Agreement, which basically set the policy direction for us moving forward.
But the city of San Antonio, we're just one city out of, and there's an entire planet here. What can one city do?
Sure, and that's where we get to some of the complexities of the issue, that while this is a global issue, the causes and impacts are felt at the local level. So, the first thing we do is we look at the data, we look at science, what it's telling us. And there's a recent Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report that came out that I'm sure many of your listeners have heard about.
It was rather dire.
That basically says that there's a lot of work to do, that we really do need to start curbing our emissions and preparing for those impacts. So, I think there's, I think from a citizen's perspective, one, educating yourself on this issue. Talking to your community members, your family, your friends, and really engaging in our SA Climate Ready process. This plan is, while it's a long-term plan looking out to 2050, there's going to be things that we're going to ask different sectors to take on over the next few years. So being able to come to an open house, visit our website, saclimateready.org, and get involved in the conversation is really the most important thing right now.
So Christy Villanueva at the West San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, is the intention to look at how San Antonio, the city of San Antonio is not going to stop climate change in and of itself, by itself, right?
Agreed.
But also, are we looking at the changes that are coming, even if we do meet many of these benchmarks that are being put out there, things are still going to change, and the city has to respond now and get ready for those changes?
Absolutely. That's what we need to teach our community today, is that we're all responsible for this planet, but much closer this city, and we're trying to take this huge item and just break it down into smaller pieces. So with the West San Antonio Chamber and other organizations here in the city, we want to make sure that we make this a little more attractive to those that either have never been introduced to it, or are unfamiliar, or just unsure of what's going on. Let's take those bite-sized chunks and introduce it to our kids, to our neighbors, and then see where we fit in. Because I as a person and as a community member can't do everything on the list. There's just no way. But if I take a role of even 5% of those items, I can make a difference.
Now, just up the road on I-35 in the city of Austin right now, they're having this massive water situation. Mm-hmm. And it's climate change, not climate change. They had a weather thing that impacted their water supply. All of the flooding that they've had up in the hill country has overwhelmed their water system. And now the entire city of Austin is on a boil water notice. There's restaurants are not functioning. People aren't able to take showers. It's just not good. You can't drink the water. You got to boil it. So this is an example of a city that was hit with an unexpected weather event that they were incapable of responding to. And their city leaders are saying they've never seen or are prepared for this because they didn't know this was something that could happen. So I don't want to, we're not going to point the fickle finger of blame here, but still, this is kind of a lesson to be learned, Doug, that cities have got to figure things out and start gaming. What could go wrong?
Yeah, and that's a great example. I think, you know, in the past, you know, past years, I think we'd be hard-pressed to find a climate scientist who would point to a particular weather event and say that is caused by climate change. I think where we are now is they're saying, well, you know, it may not have been caused, but it's been intensified. So there's a more direct correlation. And so looking at that example, yes, you know, that is a high possibility. So as a part of what we're doing is really looking at our climate vulnerabilities, looking at these climate projections that we have, looking out to 2040 and beyond, and saying, well, you know, how much more frequent are we going to get 100 and 500 year storm events? How much drier? How much hotter? And start looking at our systems, looking at our electric grid, looking at our stormwater system, looking at our potable water system, and running through these scenarios and saying, are we prepared for those impacts?
And that's only if things continue on the path that we know them to be right now. But if there are major catastrophic events on the coast, and we are seeing the rise of the sea level, and certain parts of the state, Texas, certain roads and things are now inoperable because of these king tides that are rising all the time. I mean, if there is a large-scale a climate change refugee issue, people moving to San Antonio from other parts of the state, the coastal area, which is the most populated part of the state, San Antonio is going to have to respond to that.
Absolutely.
So is that part of the conversation?
Absolutely. You know, there's a term out there, you know, climate refugees. And sometimes when we think of it, we think of, you know, maybe islands that are in the Pacific, but no, you're absolutely right. When Hurricane Harvey
hit, there's an island in the Texas called Galveston.
Exactly, and we need to provide shelter and services, and many people won't leave. But you know, even something as simple as the ability to fuel our gas tanks. If we remember, you know, with Harvey, there was that, you know, that run on gas. Now, whether or not it was real or perceived, how do businesses, how do residents, how do local governments function in the response to those impacts that in high likelihood are going to occur more frequently?
Right. We don't like to talk about that gas panic because we don't want to start another one because it's basically based on just fear and paranoia, and it was mass hysteria. And it just shows you there's a huge human element to all this as well. So right now we're talking about the sustainability of the planet, working about the worrying about the or being an elevated level of concern of what's happening with climate change, how that could impact San Antonio. So what are some of the strategies that are being proposed? How are you, as a listener, how do you want to plug into this? What voice do you want to have in getting San Antonio ready for climate change? Have you already changed personal habits in response to climate change? Are you ready to take personal responsibility? And with San Antonio having two major utilities, the water and electric, you know, is that something that needs to be considered as well? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about San Antonio's climate adaptation plan. There are open houses being held around the city of San Antonio asking for community input. They want to see how, you know, this is something that the people have got to get buy-in on this, because this is something that no government body can do on their own. It's going to take a community effort to come up with conclusions and get people to say, yeah, this is what we want, or else it's just not going to work. So let's go to Doug Melnick, Chief Sustainability Officer for the City of San Antonio's Office of Sustainability. Talk about these open houses. Is this just going to be another one of these show open houses where they listen to people and nothing happens, or this is really a dialogue?
You know, I think the key is we want to have a discussion with community members. And so the way we have it structured is somebody walks in, there's a series of stations that they can work through What's nice about this is it's not just city staff manning these stations. We have community members from the steering committee and the technical working groups there. These are members of the business community, members from institutions, residents, nonprofit organizational representatives. Basically, these are your neighbors and who've been helping us through this entire process and walk you through why are we doing this, what are the elements of the plan, and really trying to hear your thoughts. Are we on the right track? Where are we off? Because we really want to make sure that you know, where we're headed is understood and people agree with.
So when's the next one?
So we have the next one is tomorrow from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Mission Library at 3134 Roosevelt Ave. And then the one after that is Monday, October 29th at 5:30 p.m. at the John Igo Library.
God, if you haven't been to the Mission Library yet, you're missing a treat because it is a really cool library. One of the most heavily used in San Antonio as well.
And I think, and you don't need to stay there for 2 hours. You basically just sort of flow through at your own speed. There's surveys to take if you'd like. We also have giveaways. We want to make sure that this is something as flexible and as helpful for the community as possible.
And so Christy Villanueva at the West San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, also a member of the steering committee for the SA Climate Ready. What are people telling you? How are you interacting with people on this issue?
So we're also going to be interacting with the open houses, but we're taking it yet another step further and building some lunch and learn sessions where we've partnered with Doug's department in addition to the San Antonio River Authority and a few other folks from the community. And now we're going to take those topics that are discussed at the open houses and we're going to break them down piece by piece into much smaller chunks so you can learn a little bit more about what you can do. There's some great networking at the open houses. We'll also have great networking. Some of us, I mean, we're people, so we just need a little help to get started and, you know, figure out how to entice each other and involve the kids.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Andrea is on the line. Andrea, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I just have a comment. I wonder if San Antonio can put some kind of emphasis on a plant-based diet. I know that there's a large meat culture in Texas. It's part of just Texan culture, brisket, barbecue, and things like that. But I think that there's room for improvement for people to kind of adjust global warming personally because it does have such a large impact on your diet.
All right, Andrea, thank you so much for that comment. Getting off of red meat. And is that something that's being talked about, Doug? No,
it's come up. You know,
but that's a personal thing.
Well, I think, you know, it's meat is a carbon intensive resource. I don't think that I know the city's not going to start trying to dictate people's eating habits, but I think it's about providing information and educational awareness that your personal choices do have an impact. And I think, you know, hopefully as the community evolves in the conversation, it might, you know, adjust some people's considerations. The same thing with the type of vehicle that you drive. You know, there is a difference between, you know, bigger vehicles, smaller vehicles, and electric vehicles. It's a personal choice, but again, providing as much information as possible, as well as providing incentives or resources, might be the way that we're thinking about going.
You're educating people on what a lower meat, don't like diet would look like.
Right.
You don't have,
and it's not for everybody.
Yeah, but giving people information so they can make choices and that's their choice.
Exactly.
And the power of choice. Let's go to Brandon. And Brandon, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. This is a little bit of a different topic than what y'all been discussing so far. But I mean, when it comes to climate change, obviously where we get our energy is extremely important. It's a big piece of the puzzle. And when it comes to clean energy, you know, we already have relatively clean energy coming from nuclear power, but we don't have enough power coming from that. Is that something maybe San Antonio should be pushing for in the future, maybe have a more united front on nuclear power?
All right, Brandon, thank you for that. CPS Energy is a partner in the Southwest Nuclear Power Plant. And so do you want to talk about that, Mel?
Sure. And I think when we look at one of the cornerstones to this effort, we're basically talking about decarbonizing our entire all of our systems. Where we get energy is a key piece of that. CPS is currently working with the different stakeholders, our consultants, on mapping out what that future holds. They've developed a flex plan, which shows that there's significant decarbonization going on over the years. I think a lot of success is going to depend upon a lot of the technology that's going to be coming online, you know, the biggest of which is battery storage. We can roll out as much solar and wind as we'd like, but they have peaks and lulls. And unless we have the technology to store that technology and then use it when we need it, it's a bit of a barrier. In terms of nuclear really hasn't come up as a huge conversation right now as far as whether or not we're going to expand that. I think right now the focus is really looking on continuing energy efficiency, reducing that load, and greening through renewables as being our big objective.
Right, because cost is a major consideration. Nuclear power, while it does have its fans, it's also some of the most expensive power that you can try to tap into.
Right.
And so that's really been the big barrier in the United States now towards expansion of nuclear power. I mean, if it was cheap and readily available, I mean, I'm sure we'd have a lot more of it. But we're seeing all these new technological innovations on other renewable energy like
right.
wind and solar. They just keep getting cheaper and cheaper. And without all the downsides of dealing with radioactive materials. So, but can you talk about how people are concerned about cost? And as the president and CEO of the West San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, Chrissy Villanueva, businesses are concerned about how much this is going to cost me.
Exactly. So at this point, they have a lot of concerns about how they fit that into their day-to-day activities. What about their business plan? So we're actually working with several banks so businesses can write that into their plans. And it won't be, I mean, if when you're a small business and you go to the bank, you're watching every single penny, you're being evaluated constantly if you're taking out loans to help you sustain your life source. So we're having those conversations with the banks to say, look, please don't mark these line items out. Please be respectful of these businesses as they're trying to upgrade and do different things. Possibly it's solar. Right now, that's a big popular thing. We're trying to encourage businesses to participate in that and other things. But this is long term. I mean, we are going to keep pushing this year after year. It's not going to just get done overnight, but it's a positive thing. People that had no idea they were already making an impact on our environment in a positive way are surprised to find out that this is doable.
Let's go to another caller, David. David, welcome to The Source. You're on the line. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just had a question. If the city has any plan in pursuing or investing in any carbon capturing technologies that are out there, do you believe that could actually, that San Antonio could leverage that to at least play some sort of role in aiding or mitigating the effects of climate change? And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Thank you, David, for the call. So Doug Melnick?
Yeah, there's been lots of discussion around that. Because when we start looking at, again, we're looking out to 2050, trying to reduce our emissions 90 to 100% to meet the objectives of minimizing climate impact to 1.5 degrees by end of century. The strategies and the available technology that we have now only get us so far. So sequestration is going to have to be a part of it. I think the challenge is it's still a relatively new technology. So we're working with different experts on our technical working groups, working with our consultants, really trying to identify what's out there. I think one of the things that's most interesting is it's really looking at natural systems and the natural system's ability to capture carbon. So it's not necessarily... I think we're going to have to look at technological shifts to actually pulling carbon with some sort of technological aspect. But carbon capture through plants, through native grasses, trying to quantify what that actually means. So it's going to be a huge component of how we get to this carbon neutrality in the future.
Got an email from Nate. The best way we can help climate change is education. Apart from that, we need to reduce energy consumption. Let's start with the massive companies that build enormous apartment complexes. They don't care about energy efficiency. Let's change that. So they don't care about energy efficiency. I don't know about that. Doug Melnick.
Well, you know, there's one of the benefits that we have is we can look at quite a few cities that have been working on this longer than we have, and taking a look at strategies that they've had. And there, you know, there are programs, there's incentives that have been provided to private business, commercial properties, multifamily properties. one of the things that's really worked well is just providing data. I think once a property owner can benchmark their building and see, okay, how much energy am I using, how much is that costing me, and connecting that person with incentives that CPS may offer to start seeing how those numbers work, it becomes a positive shift. So I think it's a lot of what we're going to do is first out of the gate, education, awareness, and connecting people to the opportunities are basically here right now. And then the other thing is, when we start looking at multifamily properties, how does that benefit flow down to the actual renter?
Right, so that there would be, if you do build things that are energy efficient, or awareness of that, you're creating a benefit, an asset for people who want, and people want that when they move into that place. So over at, with Christy Villanueva, President and CEO of the West San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, this is the part of the future of job creation in San Antonio?
That's right. That's a huge part of it. So as we start asking, as Doug was saying, for any energy efficient items, we also go to the builders and the other businesses to say, this is a time of innovation. If you've got the idea and we can make this work and put our city in a better place, I mean, that just opens up a number of doors for many of us here. It's also going to take advanced education. So our chamber is also working with the colleges and universities to try to figure out what that means.
Okay, so I got an email from Jay Carson. I want to answer it. And so this is, we moved to San Antonio 1 month ago carrying all our reusable bags. Why is San Antonio still allowing these plastic bags to be distributed at our stores? Well, San Antonio never went with the bag ban, but now statewide that's been branded as illegal. So cities do not have that ability to do that. But it raises the quick question to Doug Melnick. Yeah, there is the state of Texas. Yep. They're not on board with trying to come up with sustainability plans. How could they be a burden, a barrier?
Well, I mean, I think we just make sure we are thoughtful in our process going forward. I think key to what we need to do, any strategy that comes out of this plan needs to have considerable stakeholder engagement to really work out the details of that. I think we really work very closely with our peer cities in the state. I think the major cities in Texas are on board with this. And so I think the continued communication and collaboration with those cities will hopefully elevate our voices to the state level. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think one of the things we really want to stress is this isn't just about saving the planet. This is about our community's quality of life. This is about economic vitality. This is about making sure small and large businesses are not only doing their part, but benefiting from those interventions. And, the real takeaway is if we don't take this action, San Antonio is going to look different in the future, and it may not be someplace that is what we originally thought San Antonio was. And so we want to make sure this is a community that is there for our children and grandchildren to enjoy.
So real quickly, do you think you're finding broad and deep consensus that this is something that the city of San Antonio should be concerned with?
So, engagement is probably one of the most difficult things. We've done surveys. We look at the demographic profile of those responses. It's fairly positive. Overall, yes, I think people believe once they understand the issue, but there's a lot more conversation that needs to happen.
Doug Melnick is the Chief Sustainability Officer for the City of San Antonio Office of Sustainability. Christy Villanueva is the President and CEO of the West San Antonio Chamber of Commerce, member of the SA Climate Ready Steering Committee. When we come back from the break, we're talking about the Mission Reach, 5 years old. Happy birthday to the Mission Reach. It's a toddler now. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay tuned.